to betray it. Indeed, she looked as bored and annoyed as she appeared on any other occasion, which is to say that her expression showed no more life than the emptying twigs that clung to the branches of the trees above her. But in a brief and shocking moment, her lips twitched into what one might be able to describe as a smile, and at that precise second of time, the same expression graced the face of her daughter, Anne. Neither woman took much notice of their change in demeanour, nor could either account for the rare but fleeting feeling of relief, for it was almost supernatural in nature. These smiles had been caused by a single word uttered over 40 miles away. The word that had caused some sort of stirring in the coldest of hearts was uttered by Miss Mary Bennet, and only contained a single syllable. Yes. This word was given in response to an offer of marriage made by one Mr. Collins, whose obsequious nature had the strength to draw on the nerves of Jesus himself, provided that Mr. Collins had been born 1,800 years earlier. Lady Catherine, having been the primary victim of Mr. Collins's undying devotion, had miraculously become unconsciously aware that either an unsuspecting female or a masochist had agreed to share the punishment of being the object of Mr. Collins's attentions. This exciting turn of events was the cause of Lady Catherine's momentary lapse of reason, during which she acknowledged the sensation of happiness through that tiniest of smiles. November 4th, 1812. 2 months had passed since that historic day, and when the wedding date had at last arrived, the Bennet household found itself in the throes of chaos. The staff were all busy arranging fresh flowers, preparing trays of food, and ensuring that even the smallest speck of dust was made aware of its absence from the guest list. The Bennet sisters were upstairs preparing themselves for the upcoming activities. Lydia and Kitty were absorbed in finding the perfect ribbons to adorn their hair, while the elder sisters expended all of their energy on tending to Mary's every whim, Jane being convinced that Mary must somehow be satisfied with her future husband, could not be happier. But Lizzie felt a touch of sadness. Elizabeth had known it would only be a matter of time before her sisters would grow up and marry, but to have knowledge of a distant event and to watch it happen are two very different things. She had never been as close to Mary as she was to Jane, but Elizabeth knew that Mary provided a sense of balance in the family, and when she left for Huntsford tomorrow morning, the dynamics would shift. "Mama," Mary said, looking up from the mirror to meet Mrs. Bennet's eyes. "Has she arrived?" There was no need to ask to whom Mary was referring. Mr. Collins had made it clear that Lady Catherine de Bourgh would be arriving this morning to attend the nuptials. The honour of such a visitor was not lost on the bride. She found herself nearly as giddy as her groom, who had regaled her with tales of the greatness of Lady Catherine. While it was generally agreed among the Bennet household that Mr. Darcy was an ill-mannered, surly man, they believed that his presence in Meryton was a large part of the reason Lady Catherine had agreed to attend the ceremony, and for this the Bennet household was grateful. For Lady Catherine's part, her primary reasons for attending the ceremony were to make sure it happened, and to prompt her nephew to make his engagement to Anne official. Surely witnessing the happy union of another couple would compel Mr. Darcy to act. "We have not yet received word from Netherfield, my dear, but I am sure she will have arrived," Mrs. Bennet said reassuringly. Jane and Elizabeth exchanged glances. As distasteful as they each found Mr. Collins, they were glad for their sister's happiness, and knew that their new brother and his circle would bring hours of entertainment. The residents of Netherfield were also occupied that morning, dressing for the upcoming ceremonies. Mr. Bingley had graciously invited Lady Catherine and Anne to stay with his party at Netherfield. To ensure Anne ample time with Mr. Darcy, Lady Catherine had accepted. Having knowledge of his aunt's arrival, Darcy was taking an abundance of time dressing. Mr. Darcy's personal valet had grown accustomed to the gentleman's need to try on dozens of ties and waistcoats. It was a pattern that had been present during the entirety of his stay at Netherfield. While Mr. Darcy's toilette was highly efficient on the grounds of Pemberley, the same could not be said during any of his visits to Rosling Park or to the Bingley household, at least when Miss Bingley was staying with her brother. Lady Catherine and Miss Bingley had always assumed that the extra attention spent on his appearance was a result of Mr. Darcy's sensitivities to their company. In a sense, they were correct. Today, however, there was a noticeable difference. Mr. Darcy had not simply tried on multiple articles of clothing to eventually select the first set recommended by his